Hallelujah. You ready to hear the word this morning? All right. Today, again, we're continuing our series on Firmly Rooted. We're looking at major doctrines of the church. And again, as I said last week, that we're not trying to get you to go over some lists of do's and don'ts, but we want you to know what you believe and why you believe it. We have prepared a lesson. You can pick one up at the Information Center in greater detail. Certainly, we can't go over every morsel of the doctrine that we're talking about today. We're kind of giving you the highlights. And we hope that you do more study on your own. And we've got a study packet you can pick up at the Information Center. Also, if you've missed any of the lessons over the past 10 weeks, we have lessons for each of those. You can also get them online as well at our website. Today we're going to be talking about the authority of the believer. You know, it's important to understand our authority that we have in Christ Jesus. This subject alone many times separates us from religious people. Religion paints the picture that we are a nothing and a nobody, and that we're to beg God and hope that the benevolent God will somehow take pity on us. You know, many people believe that God is in control of every aspect of every little thing that happens in life. You know, you can hear people say it all the time. Well, God has a plan. Something bad happens. And people say, well, God has a plan. God has a plan. And the truth of the matter is God does have a plan. God always has a plan. And it's always for good. God has a plan. When we're talking about the believer, when we're talking about walking in his ways, God always has a plan for good for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. God's outlook for your life when you serve him and when you keep your heart after him is always for good. So certainly there is the other side of the coin, that if we don't follow after God and we get our life into all kinds of mess, that we're going to reap the consequences of sin. But I'm talking this morning about people that are following after God. I'm talking about people that have in their heart the love of God. And you know, many people believe that God is in control of everything that happens to us. And that every little thing has a reason, or God has orchestrated every little thing in your life. That's not the picture the Bible paints. We are the children of God. God doesn't want us to beg him and plead him and be helpless before him. That's not God's plan. God didn't have children that we could be victims. God didn't call you to be a victim. God didn't call you to be helpless. God didn't call you to be weak and insignificant and beg him. That's not his plan for his relationship with you. On the contrary, the Bible says God has empowered you. God has filled you with his power and authority. When we talk about the authority of the believer, we're speaking about the power and the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. You have power and authority in Christ Jesus. Of ourselves, we have nothing. But in Christ, we have power and authority. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, here's the Great Commission, and it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. What authority is Jesus speaking of, and how did he get it? Well, we know that this authority came from God, came from the Father. Jesus got this authority by going to the cross. Colossians 2:15 tells us that speaking of Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The Bible says that Jesus, when he went to the cross, defeated the devil. Powers and principalities speak of evil spirits. Different rank and file. Jesus defeated them, made an open show of them, a public spectacle of them. Jesus defeated them and got victory over them. To truly understand issues of spiritual authority, you have to go back to the beginning with Adam. You know, it's important to take the Bible in full context. We don't just pick a scripture and make a doctrine out of it. You have to understand the concept from throughout the Bible. You go back to the very beginning and you see where God gave Adam authority over the earth. The Bible talks about what happened with Adam and how Jesus affected Adam. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being." How many of you remember back in Genesis where God created the first man, Adam? What did he create him from? Anybody know? Dust of the earth. That's right. And here in 1 Corinthians, it says, it also speaks of the last Adam. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam is referring to Jesus. So the first Adam is Adam that was in the garden. The last Adam is Jesus, a life-giving spirit. How many of you have life through Jesus? Amen. It says in verse 46, "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of the dust." That's Adam. "The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of the dust." It's important to understand this sentence here. How many of you know that Adam sinned in the garden? The Bible says, as the first man was, so are all that follow him. We are also made natural men. And just as Adam sinned, we are all identified in that sin. Sin came on all of mankind through the first Adam. That's what it's saying here. "As the man of dust, so are those who are made of the dust. And as the heavenly man," speaking of Jesus, "so also are those who are heavenly." Just as we were identified in the first Adam, we're also identified in the last Adam. Just as death came through the first Adam, life comes through Jesus. And we can have life in Jesus. "Whomsoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You and I, salvation's available for all men. And verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus. So in the very beginning, God gave dominion and authority to Adam in the garden. And we know that Adam sinned, and we were made in the image and likeness of God, right? And God told Adam, you have to go back and read it. God told Adam to rule over the earth, to subdue it, to fill it. The earth was Adam's responsibility. God gave it to him. And Adam became the God, little g, of the earth. And so it's important to understand this concept when we talk about spiritual authority. But we know that Adam sinned, committed high treason against God, and he sold out to the devil. But Adam had a legal right to do that because he was the God of this earth, little g. Adam had the legal right to choose, and he chose to sin. And because of that choice, the legal right to control things here in the earth went from Adam now to the devil. Again, we're just, I know it's a lot to take in on a Sunday morning, but I want you to understand this concept of spiritual authority and why Jesus had to come. Really, this is the crux of salvation. Why did Jesus have to come? Because the devil now became the God, little g, of the earth, the authority that he got from Adam. And so we know that Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12, says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness." What have we been delivered from? The power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Bible says that when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. You're taken out from underneath the authority of the devil, who is the God, little g, of this world. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be identified in Christ, that we're no longer bound to the devil. We're no longer subject to his authority. He cannot rule over us. He cannot manage us. He cannot force us or compel us. He cannot control us, because the Bible says that we have been delivered. We have been delivered, set free by the power of what Jesus did. That's good news. God has rescued us. He has rescued us from the dominion and power of the devil. That means the enemy no longer has control over you. So when you hear, well, I can't get free of that. That's a lie. Because God has set you free. That's why we need to renew our minds to the truth. We know that, you know, I thank God that Jesus spoke truth. In the Gospels, you can read where Jesus told his disciples that the devil is a liar and a thief. He speaks his native language when he lies. He's a liar. Do you think he's still lying today? Yes, he is. And he comes and he tries to lie about anything. He'll lie and tell you that you can't be free. He'll lie and tell you that you're not good enough to go to heaven. He'll lie and tell you that you're not holy enough. You're not righteous enough. You're not, you can't get your prayers answered because you're not a special faith person. You can't do this or you can't do that. He lies. They're all lies. That's all he speaks. And sometimes we don't recognize him, but he's lying to us all the time. And the Bible tells us that we've been set free from that. You don't have to listen to that. You can know the truth, and the truth can make you free. You don't have to take those things. You know, God rescued you from the power and dominion of the devil. He can't control your life. He cannot rule or dominate you unless you give him the permission to. Unless you allow him to. Many church people relate their spiritual authority to something in the future. When we get to heaven, we'll have authority. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to have dominion. And the Bible talks about those things, that when we get to heaven, we'll rule and reign. And those are good things. But you know what? The devil is not going to be in the heavens. He's not going to be in heaven. You know, we have spiritual authority over him here. And this is where we need to exercise that authority. There'll be no one in heaven to oppose you. It's here and now that you need to exercise your spiritual authority. John 10:10 tells us, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Again, Jesus is reminding you, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's not for you. As a believer, that's not for you. It's not for you. I have come, Jesus has come, that you might have life. Not death, that you might have life, and life more abundantly. The enemy wants to, steal from you. He wants to cause trouble in your life. But Jesus defeated him. When he died on the cross, he defeated the enemy. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. The devil has no power over a born-again believer. Jesus got the victory for you and I. The authority that Jesus won, he now gives to the church. The authority that Jesus won now belongs to the church. A couple weeks ago, we talked about who is the church. Who is the church? We are. So who has the authority?
I do.
You do. We all do. Because we're in Christ. We have that authority. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 10. It says in verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." What does the Bible say that you have authority over? Snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have power and authority over the enemy. That authority that you have is found in Christ Jesus. It's not in ourselves, it's in Christ we have this authority. And we, his body, as such, have the authority in his name. Many problems in life exist. Many problems in life exist because we have allowed them to exist. We have allowed things to exist. Well, what do you mean? Well, we have allowed things in our life, either through our ignorance, either through our lack of diligence, or our not knowing, right? We allow things in our life. The Bible, if we truly understand the Word of God, we know that we have power and authority over the enemy. And what is the enemy going to do? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? We have power and authority over him. Sometimes we allow... We're not using the authority that God has given us. We're ignorant. The Bible says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." We are ignorant about spiritual matters. When something bad happens, and what do we say? Well, God must have a plan. What are you saying? That God's doing this awful thing to you, and you shouldn't resist it because somehow it's part of the miraculous plan of God. Really, you're saying, "I'm allowing this in my life because I don't know what it is." You have spiritual authority over evil things. You have spiritual authority over evil things. Amen. We need to hear that. We have spiritual authority over evil things in this life. Many problems in life exist because we have allowed them. Not saying it's the only reason, but many times we have allowed things to happen in our life by not using our spiritual authority. Or we allow the devil opportunities because we stay connected to sin. Or we stay connected to bad habits and evil things. And it leaves a doorway open for the enemy to move in our life. The Bible tells us in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Anywhere there's sin, there is the death nature. Are you with me this morning? I know I'm getting somewhere. I know I'm giving you a lot of information. We're going to get there, though. For the wages of sin is death. He knows that he has an avenue that he can bring death into your life. But thank God for 1 John 1:9 that says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do we have to do? We have to repent. Father, forgive me. I've messed up. Father, forgive me, wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. I repent of my sin and I turn in the other direction. When you do that, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he removes that transgression from you. You cut off that doorway for the enemy. We have to understand these issues of spiritual authority. You must stand your ground when it comes to the enemy. You know, it's kind of like if you are licensed to be a police officer and you know, there's a traffic jam out there. You can go out in the middle of the road and you can direct traffic. You can tell someone to come and they'll come. You can tell someone to stop and they'll stop. You have authority to clear that situation up. But what if you sit by on the roadside watching the traffic jam and don't do anything? Well, why is this awful traffic jam happening in my life? Because you're not doing anything about it. You're not using your authority that you have. We have spiritual authority in Christ Jesus. You're not a victim in your life. You don't have to take whatever comes down the pipe. You have something to say about it. You have words that you can speak to it. You know, we see all throughout the scriptures, we read one this morning, Mark 11, speak to the mountains. Why can we speak to mountains in our life? Because we have spiritual authority in Christ Jesus. God has empowered you. God has empowered you through prayer, through your words. God has empowered you to do something about your life. You know, when we don't understand who we are in Christ Jesus, and we are still trying to get God to do something, I can't tell you how many times I talk to people about the subject of prayer, and their number one thing is, how do I get God to do something? How do I get God to heal me? How do I get God to provide for my needs? How do I get God to forgive me? How do I get God to do something? I want Him to. I desire Him to. I need Him to. How do I get God to do something? You don't get God to do something. God has already done what He's going to do. God has told you to do something. Well, we don't like that because that puts it back on us. Well, I don't want to do anything. I want God to do it all. Well, God's looking in your direction. God has told you. God has empowered you. God has given you tools and weapons. God has told you to stand in the place of faith. God has given you things to fight the enemy, and He's looking for you to do something. It's no different than sitting on the roadside watching the traffic jam. You have the power and authority to do something, but you sit by and do nothing and complain why God isn't doing something. Spiritual authority. You have spiritual authority. You must stand your ground when it comes to the enemy. Why do you think Scripture, listen to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The Bible says to be sober, be vigilant when it comes to your enemy. Pay attention, be alert. And do something. Resist him. Resist him. Don't let him in. Push him back. Don't give him a place. And you're not the only one that has to do this. Everybody who believes in Christ has to do it. Everybody. You're either going to be an overcomer or you're going to be overcome. The devil doesn't care who you are. He doesn't take pity on anybody. He'll run right over you if you give him the opportunity. But you don't have to. People have misunderstood the subject of spiritual authority. People think that when we talk about these things that we're bossing God around. It has nothing to do with it. God has empowered us, and He expects us to do something with what He's given us. Command you me. That's right. We have to do our part. We have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for ask in verse 13 of John 14 means demand. Demand. We must demand or enforce our rights. The passage would read like this: whatever you demand as your rights and privileges in His name, He will do. We're not bossing God around. We're not telling Him what to do. We're standing in His power, speaking to circumstances, speaking to the enemy. We are holding our place in who we are. And I'm not looking for a devil under every rock. That's not the point here. We're not looking for the enemy. But when we come into contact with him, we deal with him. And we're not afraid of him. And we don't listen to his lies. And we don't listen to his garbage. We stand in who we are in Christ Jesus. The authority is expressed, the authority that God has given you is expressed through your words. Proverbs tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. Choose your words. The early church, they prayed in the name of Jesus. They spoke in the name of Jesus. They healed in the name of Jesus. The religious leaders of the day were kept telling them, stop talking in that name of Jesus. Stop praying in the name of Jesus. Stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And they just did it all the more. You have spiritual authority in Christ. He gave you authority so that you don't have to live a defeated life. That's what I want to get to this morning. God gave you this authority so that you don't have to be a victim. You don't have to live a defeated life. You don't have to spend your days begging in the dust for God to do something for you. That's not a child of the King. That's not who God created you to be. That you would have to spend your days begging God to do something. Mark 11, I'm going to read it again. Mark 11, 22 says, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." What you speak to the mountains have a lot to do with the mountain moving. I got so many problems in my life. I'm so discouraged. I'm so depressed. Why doesn't God do something for my life? I love God. I confessed Him as my Lord and Savior, but my life is falling apart. I have no money. I have no job. I have this. I have that. I have sickness and problems. And, well, you're not being who God called you to be. You need to start to renew your mind according to the Word. You need to look and see what God has said about you. You need to ask God to put that on the inside of you in a stronger way. Give you more revelation about it. Help you to understand the truth about it. We see this. We have to walk in the authority that God provided for us. Let me give you just a couple illustrations and then we'll be done. What does this look like every day in your life, walking in the authority of God? What do you do when you pray and your circumstances don't change immediately? Well, some people become discouraged and they slip back into their old way of thinking and talking. The enemy will come and deceive, like he said, and discourage you, tell you that your authority is not working. He wants to get you to start to have doubt and unbelief. We know that James talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and he'll receive nothing. Receive nothing. You can't say, well, I have authority right now, but I don't know about tomorrow when I have problems. I don't know, I don't have authority. No, you have to know you have authority all the time. Is God still on the throne? Is He short of power? Is he schizophrenic where he gives it today and tomorrow He takes it back? He doesn't have any mental disorders. God has given us spiritual authority, and that is with us. It's up to us whether we use it or not. You can't be moved when circumstances don't look like they're changing. You can't be moved. You can't be upset. You can't be shaken by what you feel or what you think. You must train yourself to be steady, unmovable, because of the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. Either you're in Christ or you're not. Either you have the authority or you don't. You need to make up your mind about it. Don't take my word. You go and see it for yourself. 2 Corinthians says that the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The situations, the circumstances, the stuff of this life, it's temporary. It's subject to change. It's changeable. The things that surround you in life are temporary. You have to speak to it and stand your ground in your authority. You know, great illustration in the life of the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul authored much of the New Testament. He was mightily used of God. You know, he planted many of the churches, and he was just so instrumental in the early church. And he authored much of it. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the Apostle Paul describes his own life. And he goes into great details. He says, "Am I a Hebrew? Are you Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Am I the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In death, often. For the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleepless often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things what comes upon me daily, the needs of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. What is Paul saying here? All these things are going on in his life. He faced death over and over and over again. And yet Paul says, I'm not weak. I'm not a victim. I'm not defeated. I'm not a quitter. I'm not giving up. I am still overcoming. That's what he's saying here. He did not let circumstance take him out of the race. He did not quit or give up. There are things that are going to happen in this life, and in the midst of those things, you need to get the victory. You know, when you think of Paul's life, he was beaten with rods, but he didn't die. He was stoned and left for dead, but he didn't die. He was shipwrecked, but he did not perish. I believe Paul understood these concepts of spiritual authority. He knew how to pray. He knew how to get the answer. He was threatened everywhere he turned, but he came out on top. He overcame it. Paul knew who he was in Christ Jesus. He understood spiritual authority. There are things that the Bible has told you and I to do, and we're asking God to do something about it. And God's not going to do something about something he already told you to do about. We go to God talking to God about our mountain. Lord, don't you see this mountain in front of me? Don't you see how difficult it is? Don't you see how large it is? Don't you see how awful it is? Lord, why aren't you doing something about the mountain? Lord, don't you care about me, God? Don't you care about the things that are going on in my life? And God's saying, why aren't you speaking to it like I told you to? Why aren't you speaking to the mountains? Why are you looking to me when I've given you the authority? You take dominion. You take authority over it. You speak to it, and things will change. Because I'm going to back you up. I have empowered you. It's my power through you. It's my anointing through you. It's my power through you. We need to get a hold of that. We're not waiting for God to save us. He's already done everything that he's going to do to save us. It's up to us to receive it. It's up to us to receive it. You believe that he is Lord. You believe that he has forgiven you. You believe that you're going to heaven. You take hold of it and you receive salvation. The same way you receive salvation is the same way you're going to receive everything else. Begging God to heal you is wrong. Begging God to meet your needs is wrong. Begging God to fill you with the Holy Spirit is wrong. Begging God to save you is wrong. Begging God to forgive you is wrong. You don't have to beg God. God doesn't want you to be a beggar, groveling in the dust, hoping that God will somehow throw you a crumb from his table. That is not the picture that God has painted for his children. Begging is not his will. God, Ephesians tells us that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God has given you so much. God has given us so much. It's up to us to rise up and take hold of that which God has given us, to use it, to believe it, and to walk in it. Resist the enemy when he comes. Speak to the mountains in your life. Overcome evil with good, the good of God's word. Do your part. Do your part and let God do his. Amen? Thank God for spiritual authority. Thank God that we've been translated out of darkness into light. Thank God that we have been rescued from the dominion and the darkness of the enemy. We have been delivered. Have been. Past tense. We have been delivered. We're set free by the power of God. Let's stand up. I want to pray. Thank you. Hallelujah. He's so good, isn't he? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we have authority in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have been translated out of darkness into light. We thank you that you've called us more than conquerors. You've called us victors in Christ. You've given us the victory through Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we are in him, and it's in him that we live and move and have our being. We thank you, Lord, that we are not subject to the enemy, that we have spiritual authority over him. We thank you that we can resist the enemy and he must flee. We thank you, Lord, that we're not waiting for you to do something in our lives. Lord, that we can speak truth and we have authority, that we can use the authority that we've been given, and we declare the victory in our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you that you're bringing us up and out of bondage. We thank you that you're bringing us up and out of situations and circumstances. Lord, if we've been begging you, if we've been thinking wrong, Lord, we thank you for adjusting our thinking today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.